only 2,000 miles between us.
Actually, I was in your kitchen the last time you were on the air with Steve. I was heading up to the Phoenix airport, but so it's not as if we've been apart. I stayed at Judy's for a couple days earlier in the month. So anyway, it's good to be back. Can we agree that we will not discuss Hillary's outfit? Why does what a woman wear have anything to do with whether or not she's competent?
Well, help me out here while we're not discussing it. Was there a lot of flack?
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of flack.
Oh, no, there was a lot. There was a lot.
Was this in tweets or I didn't see
Yeah, tweets and Facebook posts and enough already. Nobody, on one person's post I answered and I said, men have it so easy. They show up in a suit and a shirt and a tie, and nobody questions how they
color.
Look.
Well,
color
question
or whether or not they look fat or what? Pardon?
If someone wore a really, let's say, canary yellow tie, there might be comments. And they were a Republican.
They wouldn't.
I just gave you a hypothetical, so you can't change it.
Okay, it's not your hypothetical. Maybe they would.
Like,
but
Hillary has bad fashion. She always has. We've always known it.
Actually, I've seen some of Hillary's outfits, and she looks fine. I think probably in the context of a campaign, it's probably best to just look as conservative as the men look, even grouchy grandpa. You know, just wear a suit. Just don't make that an issue. And as you say, Judy, if men were to show up, if somebody showed up wearing a suit like Pete McMurray used to wear, I mean, Pete McMurray has suits that have Christmas trees on them and stuff like that, then we probably would. But the truth is, they don't. So let's not make that an issue, okay? Even though I just have.
Don't you think that it would be nice to look like Katharine Hepburn? You just have kind of a cream-colored blouse on and black slacks and good black, I suppose, expensive slacks.
Right.
Could you go to a debate in that?
Sure, but probably a jacket as well. Probably a jacket. A jacket and shirt and pants.
Well, then you're wearing a pantsuit.
Well, if the jacket and the pants match, then you are.
I just mean the blouse.
Okay. Yeah,
I just mean Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah, I just don't see what that has to do with a person's ability to do the job. That's all.
And how much did we sweat getting proper suits when Hillary Clinton invited us to lunch?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
oh,
it was months we were shopping for pastel suits.
Yeah, and this refers to a time when some of you may not have been girlfriends. We had Hillary on as a guest when she was here for the Democratic Convention in, what, 99?
Whenever
when was it?
He was
when was
first
the convention?
Nominated. Second, no,
98.
Second, before his second term.
Okay. Yeah. Late 90s, early 2000s. And we both were very concerned about our outfits for that. But then, and I'm sure this is part of some template that exists, we were invited to come to a luncheon at the White House, which knocked our socks off. We were excited.
Yeah.
We both wound up buying essentially the same suit. Didn't we? We both had a white suit.
No, I had
a white suit. We both had white suits and pearls. And I think if we go back and look at the pictures, Judy.
I had a yellow suit.
Okay.
A kind of dusty,
creamy.
Kind of dusty.
I'm looking
yellow.
At the pictures now.
Yes.
Judy, yes, you did have a yellowish suit, and Kathy, it looks like you had a white suit.
Yeah.
So very similar, but you did have yellow.
Can you tell the difference in the pearls? That was one of our hysterical things.
We both had little white purses and pearls, and we took a picture of them, and Judy's pearls were real and mine were fake. And Judy's purse, wasn't yours
mine was from Chandler's or something.
Inexpensive purse, and mine was the most expensive purse I ever bought, which at the time was something like $98.
I'm going to make a photo gallery of all of the pics of Hillary and your visit to the White House.
Oh, okay,
and
great.
I'm going to put it on WGNradio.com here in the next 5 minutes.
Oh, so thank you, Kristen.
All the girlfriends can see it, too.
All right, great. Thank you, Kristen. I have two things about having babies, okay? I'm going to a baby shower after I leave the show today. which is what Kristen said, you look so nice. I'm doing
okay,
something
you always
else.
Look
you
nice.
You know I don't. I usually have wear some schmata. And, anyway, so I'm going to this baby shower, and my sisters and I bought the giftee, the mom, an item that I don't think she had it on her wish list, so it's not like I'm surprising anybody. It's like a bassinet, but you can also use it as what we used to call a playpen. But it has, I noticed when I looked at the description, a vibrating mattress.
Well, don't get that kid started.
No, I'm thinking it's probably really low level, but I'm interested in hearing from moms and dads of infants whether or not a vibrating mattress on a bed or whatever helps a child sleep or helps them calm down.
Didn't you ever see the Sex and the City episode?
What, about where? Vibrators?
Miranda's baby, Brady, kept crying, and Samantha had to babysit.
Okay.
And the little bassinet it was in stopped vibrating. And
oh, my gosh, so this is not a new thing.
Yeah, Brady started bawling, and finally Samantha fixed it by
getting her own vibrator, yes, and putting it underneath
propping it
the
up
mattress.
Again. Exactly.
Who knows from this? 312-981-7200. And the other question about pre-baby is, I saw an item the other day that it seemed like it should be illegal, and it was maternity Spanx. Say what? Maternity Spanx?
You know
Spanx?
What, though? A Spanx would be a gentle way of supporting your back. And it might be that it's Spanxy in the backside, but more elasticy in the front side.
I don't know. I just saw that and I thought, oh, for Pete's sake.
I also wonder what you saw the item, or you heard an ad.
No, I saw it online.
So was it supposed to go over someone 8 months pregnant or someone like?
It showed the way that it showed it. It looked like it was somebody who was 7 or 8 months pregnant. They were very, very pregnant. Hmm. And I just thought, if there's ever a time in your life when you should be able to not worry about
having a tummy,
exactly, it's when you're pregnant. All right, boys and girls.
That's what I loved about being pregnant.
You can let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Right. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or give us a text, and we will be back after this. I just learned about something. I haven't had babies for a long time.
No, that's me trying to get into Spanx.
Thank you, Kristen Decker. So we're talking about two things, vibrating mattresses for babies and maternity Spanx. And this is Jenny, who has a five-month-old who should know about such things. Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
Do you have a vibrating mattress for your five-month-old?
I do.
Is it helpful?
It is. He will be screaming, like going bonkers. And I put him in the bassinet and turn the vibrating setting on, and his eyes will like roll to the back of his head.
Is it like kids going through tunnels? Have you seen those videos?
Yeah, and it just completely, like, within seconds, he's fine.
How much of a vibration is it? If you put your hand on the mattress?
It must be low grade.
It's low grade, yeah. It's just, it's really similar to, like, being in the car, like when the seat is kind of shaking a little bit.
Which, of course, many of us did before we had vibrating mattresses.
To get him to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also think a water bed, because that's kind of like being back in the womb. You know, it kind of undulates and does all that, a thin, watery mattress. But I guess they've tried it out on babies. Is this a plug-in or batteries?
It's batteries. It's like in the mobile that clips onto the side of the bassinet. Came with it. And it's funny because I actually put on a setting, like a water setting.
So oh, you do?
Yep. So I do the vibration, and then you've got the sound of, like, the ocean, and he's just...
Wow, he's gone. Jenny, when you were pregnant, did you ever wear maternity Spanx?
No, but with my first, who's seven now, they had the bands, like, in the maternity pants that would kind of hold you in, but I did not do the Spanx.
But you wanted to be held in for support, or why?
Support and I don't know. I guess with my first one, I wasn't used to being pregnant, and I felt kind of frumpy. It kind of held me in a little bit.
Weren't you worried your baby would look like a pancake?
No, I wasn't.
Pretty hard to flatten that out. Jenny, yeah. Thanks for the call. Are you done now?
I love you guys.
Are you done?
Yeah. Third one, and I'm pretty pooped. So
okay.
We had a puppy the same time we had the baby. Oh. Done.
So you're a masochist.
I love you guys so much, though. Fun talking to you.
Thank you, Jenny. 312-981-7200 is our number. This is Teresa, who had a somewhat throwback version of the vibrating mattress.
Hi. Yeah, my oldest daughter was extremely colicky. I always say she cried nonstop for the first 2 years of her life.
Oh, my God.
And one of the few things I could do was to put blankets on top of the dryer and run the dryer and have her lay on the dryer, and that would calm her.
Oh, my gosh. Same kind of thing.
Yeah. We used to video the double mint gum commercial. For some reason we had that looped over and over again, and that would give us about 3 minutes to eat dinner without crying.
You mean double your trouble, double your fun?
I think it was pleasure.
The twins, yeah.
I think it was double your pleasure, double your fun.
We're talking, 25, 30 years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow. Great story, Teresa. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 312-981-7200. We're talking about baby stuff, maternity spanks, and one of our girlfriends texted and said she wore maternity girdles. I had a maternity girdle many years ago, about 40 years ago. It didn't compress the tummy, but it supported my back and underneath my belly. It really helped with low back aches. Interesting.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is Janice. You're a grandma, right, Janice?
I am a grandma. I was born in the 50s. My kids were born in the early 80s, and now we have grandchildren. My mom reminds me that my car seat was made out of wood.
Yeah.
And when my kids were little, I remember putting them in the car to soothe them. We'd take them for a long car ride.
Right.
I've been amazed since becoming a grandma at how many batteries you can go through on things. And that would almost be a better shower gift, a life supply of batteries.
So you have grandchildren who do have vibrating mattresses.
Right. And I can say the bouncy seat now that vibrates, I do notice a difference. If I put her in it and it's not vibrating, she's a little irritable, but when I turn the vibrator on, it just seems soothing to them.
You know, so you go ahead, Jenny.
No, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I think we're so electronic with everything, down to the kids' toys. When you go buy them a Christmas gift, that everything requires batteries. The old-fashioned popcorn popper that we used to push by Fisher Price on the floor that made that little the wooden beads would pop up.
Right.
Now it has to have batteries in it and light up. I think we've created a monster here as far as batteries, and I do think a shower gift would be a lifetime supply of batteries.
Interesting.
The thing I wonder is how do you divorce yourself? You know, you get imprinted by what happens to you as a child, whether it's a certain kind of food. I was listening today to a woman talking about tastes, and when you find something really that you have a crush on as a food, it's very frequently attached to what your mother ate while she was pregnant with you. If she ate a lot of garlic, you're going to come out loving garlic.
Well, Judy, wasn't it you and I who were talking about the fact that now mothers who had been discouraged from eating peanuts and peanut butter during pregnancy are now being told it's okay because they feel that may have something to do with all the peanut allergies?
Oh, I didn't know that. But
that wasn't
sense.
Then I was having that conversation with somebody else in the last couple of weeks. Janice, thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and finally, this is Celeste. Hey, Celeste.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just saying that when I was pregnant, that was quite a while ago, I used to wear a control top pantyhose because it would give me support and actually made me feel better. I had to wear them backwards, though, because of the tummy, but it was.
Wait, you mean you put control tops are made bigger in the butt?
Yeah.
So exactly. When you were pregnant, you wore them backwards.
That's how'd your feet work out in that?
Well, usually, I don't know. I did it. I don't know.
And how old is that one that walked around being held in by control top pantyhose?
29, and she's fine.
Okay.
So far.
Okay. Thanks, Celeste.
Thank you. Bye.
312-981-7200 is our number. Kristen's going to put up some pictures of Judy and me from the Hillary days, from the early Hillary days, and we will be back after this.
Funny Valentine.
This is a hard song to sing.
Sweet comic Valentine.
Who's singing it now? Who's that? Do we know who that is?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
I was
going to
go Frank Sinatra, and then I thought, no, girl power.
Yeah, there we go, Ella Fitzgerald.
And this is Ella Fitzgerald. It sounds like either a very early or very late time in her singing career.
Well, she's not doing scat.
No, it's a hard one to scat. So a Valentine quandary, or Valentine hurt feelings, or all that sort of stuff, I suppose happens. You can get hurt feelings, I suppose, tomorrow when you don't get what you wanted to get. And I remember having talked about generally women who are hoping to get a wedding ring, something like that.
And isn't there a thing where you're not supposed to do it on Valentine's Day? Isn't legally there an issue with giving a ring?
Yes.
It's hard to get it back if you break up.
Because if you break, this is what I remember from that.
Right.
That it was because on Valentine's Day, it's a gift.
And less on
any other day, it's a commitment. And if the commitment has been broken, then you get it back.
Okay.
That's what I remember from it.
Okay.
Why do I remember that?
I don't know. I do not know.
Must have been very concerned at the time.
I know.
So I'd like to hear if you have any Valentine's Day quandaries while I tell you about mine, which is at a certain point in my life, I decided, and it's only been a few years, not to send Valentines to my adult children.
Okay.
It just seemed stupid.
Okay. Thank you. I just did that yesterday.
But did you?
Please go ahead.
Okay,
yes.
And you're saying that, and when I don't do it, I kind of feel guilty, but I also kind of think if they get the Valentine, they're going to say, thanks, Mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
sort of like this, because you can't be a Valentine to your mom. I mean, you get them from your children, you give them to your children. Well, you know, but when does that stop?
And I'm sure there were plenty of years when I missed. I think now I do it because I send them to the grandkids.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, usually with a little something, something in there.
Kids will feel out?
Pardon?
You think your kids will feel left out?
No, as long as I'm getting them for the little ones, the 21-year-old. I just do.
You do?
You know, it's not like they're my Valentine, but I love them, and it's just... You know, I try to find something that's not too sappy.
Well, and I wonder if I'm erring on the side of pragmatism. You know, there's a voice in me that's saying, what would it hurt? And there's
right.
a voice.
What's the downside?
And the downside is, thanks, Mom. Because lots of times when I say I love you on the phone, they always respond, I love you too, Mom.
Right.
Or if they say I love you, which is, of course, much more of my favorite thing, then... of course I say I love them, but I don't know. It's just a funny thing. And I don't know. I know there are people. I was reading an advice column this morning, and there are people that take this holiday
quite
seriously.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I just wonder if this is fraught for some people, some younger people. Certainly to hear from young women or young men. One was a guy who wrote in and said something about his girlfriend, and it had been 2 months that they'd been going together. Now, that's a hard time.
Right, that's a hard one.
That's a hard
right,
time
yeah.
to send a Valentine,
right.
you know? I mean, you're
there,
just
there was a hilarious event. Remember those Boynton cards in the
mm-hmm.
80s?
312-981-7200. Go on, Catherine.
And it said something on the front like, I know I haven't known you very long, so I don't want you to think I'm just sending this to you because it's Valentine's Day. And then on the inside it says, unless, of course, you sent me one because it's Valentine's Day, and then that's why I sent it to you. It's just, you just have to be so careful in those early days of a relationship. But with parents and kids, I generally send my kids Valentine's, and they don't send them to me. To me, that doesn't mean they don't love me. I know they love me. They better. But it's just
after
not,
all I did for them, the,
right, it's just
the unspoken part of the sentence.
It's just not something they do, and it's fine. It's not a deal. But 312-981-7200. And here's Jeannie. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hey, girlfriends. How are you?
Okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Or as we like to say, happy VD.
My dad's family owned a restaurant, a candy store. So every year we always got the chocolate heart, you know, the heart box and everything. So It's something I've kind of kept up with my kids. They're grown. One of my sons is living in Arizona, so he's getting his in the mail.
Oh, that'll and be I nice and melty.
Well, where he's at, it's not quite so hot, but it just, to me, it's just a little tradition to keep up with the family.
So if you didn't do it one, if you didn't do it one year, they would think, what's up, Mom?
Yeah, there's been a couple of years that have been missed here and there, but I, you know, they're boys. They don't say anything. If it was girls, I think I'd probably hear more about it.
Okay.
But I just think it's kind of a fun thing and something that we're doing now with the grandkids, too.
Do they send Valentine's to you?
Of course not. They're boys.
Oh, and I was going to say, I bet I get a Valentine from Erin today.
Uh-huh.
She's really good about stuff like that. Oh, my God, I'm feeling just like hell right now.
Why?
Right,
because
right.
If Erin sent me a Valentine.
Well, go on e-cards. Go on some e-cards and send her an e-card.
Oh, Erin listens to the show. Oh, Erin, I'm sorry.
Oops. Jeannie, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
312-981-7200. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there.
Hi.
She listens to the show. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure mine do.
No, I was thinking the same thing, actually, for my son who just moved out to Utah. He's the youngest out of three. And I finally said, oh, the heck, because I never really liked Valentine's Day anyway, even as a child. I just thought it was a ridiculous holiday. Sorry to say, I'm not real sensitive and lovey-dovey.
Yeah,
but I sent him a new idea. I sent him a piece of music to learn how to play.
Ah.
And I said, so when we're out there in April, you can play this piece for me.
You gave him homework. That
what does he
really
play?
Nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
What's his instrument?
It's piano.
Okay.
Actually, it's one he took from me, but that's okay because his apartment was a tombstone. When I'd go over, I said, oh, you're getting my new electric piano. I can't stand it here anymore. So anyway, that was like years ago. And so I've just kind of been challenging him with pieces, and he loves it. He's, you know, really getting into the piano and whatnot. And this piece was The Last Date by Floyd Kramer.
Oh, and my. Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
I don't know that song.
Kristen will find it. Kristen or Bob.
Yeah.
Ferguson
oh,
will
they're
find
great.
It.
They're
yeah.
great. And then also my older son, who does live with us, I'm making him bread today. So he's getting, because he's celiac. And so I'm making him a new kind of French bread.
Gluten-free bread, right.
Gluten-free.
Okay.
And then the daughter who lives just in the area will get nothing, but I'll give her a big hug because I always take him out for coffee anyway. So anyway, and I just thought, what a great topic because I don't have grandkids. And the dog always gets an extra dog treat, but, you know, he doesn't.
Well, now I feel horrible again.
Exactly. Toby does just fine.
And I have a candy drawer year-round that's totally full, and everybody in the neighborhood comes over and says, what's in the candy drawer?
How do you do that without I could not have a candy drawer.
No,
I would eat it all.
Because I overdid it, and
okay.
I finally like, oh, now I just get little bite size. I just need that little piece of chocolate.
Even still, I do 22 bite size a day. I just don't keep it around the house. Maureen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh. 312-981-7200 for calls and for texts. We'll be back right after this. All right, this is the song that was referred to. This is Floyd Kramer's The Last Day. Oh, what good grinding music.
Oh, I remember this.
Just the kind of dancing where you hold on to the person you're dancing with.
Desperately hoping he won't break up with you.
Or get excited.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that happened, and I remember the boy, and I'm not going to say his name.
Of course not.
But I remember the first time I was close dancing, and, you know,
it got happy.
I can't remember the song, but it was obviously slow, and it was close. And I remember at that time thinking, oh, my goodness. I think I was probably in eighth grade or
something's touching my leg.
Freshman year or something like that. Anyway, that was the kind of music we danced to
that
at the time.
That didn't happen to me ever.
Really?
No.
Oh. Well, you must not have been dancing close enough.
I'm sure I was.
Huh. Anyway.
I'm really
sad
today.
When you're a teenager, when you're a middle school or a high school boy, it's almost involuntary. And that's interesting.
Maybe I just didn't bring that out in anybody.
Okay. 312-981-7200. We're talking about Valentine's Day and the quandary of whether or not you exchange Valentines with your kids. And somebody said, I think it's very odd that a parent would get their son or daughter a Valentine's Day gift. Really? I would be very concerned about kids being around adults who do that.
Whoa.
Really? Really? Another one from 847. I work for American Greetings. The first cards to run out this year were mom, dad, aunt, sister, grandma, daughter, and son. Those are sparse today. We have so many more romance or husband-wife cards left.
Half the marriages split up. And I wonder what percentage of people are with somebody at any given time. You know, they never have done a survey on...
You mean the interim times? When the not being with somebody fall on Valentine's?
Yeah, you have a relationship going on.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is Linda. Hey, Linda, you always feel conflicted about Valentine's Day?
Girls,
yes.
You hit on the head. I have two sons, and maybe this is a son thing. I have two grown sons. They do not live in Chicago. And I thought to myself, are they too old? A Valentine, they're probably rolling their eyes. But I thought, what am I doing it for? I'm doing it for me, not for them. I'm doing it for me because I enjoy doing it. I do not have grandchildren. They're not married. I have great nieces and nephews. I buy for them, and I get enjoyment out of it. I really do. And I'm sure that my sons are rolling their eyes and going, and I actually found a very funny card that said something about, well, don't be embarrassed if your friends see this Valentine from your mom and dad. Tell them there was $100 in there. And then when you open it up, it says, oh, you see, you just tell them there's $100 in there. There's not really $100 in there. So anyway, I thought it was funny, and I sent it to them. But I know that when I got cards from my parents, and my parents, I sent them Valentines, but they did not send us Valentines.
Was that an issue for you?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I have a husband, and I kind of really thought, yeah, this is a husband thing. But I don't know. I used to send to my parents, and I just lost my train of thought.
Welcome to our world.
What I wanted to say is that when I used to get cards from my parents for my birthdays, and they would write very flowy things and sign their name, you know, I'd kind of look at it, but I was probably more looking at, you know, what I got from my friends and things like that. And now, since they're gone, they're very precious to me. And maybe my kids, I don't know if they have a drawer with my cards in it or whether they tossed it, but that means a lot to me now. So,
but you cut them off, these two boys, right? You didn't send to them this
year. No, I did.
You told us about the funny Valentine. Right.
Yeah.
So you still do?
Because I did it for me.
How old are they? Like 53? How old are they?
Oh, 40. And 31.
Okay. All right. I'm
right with you. I know what you felt because I did have that feeling, and I thought, are they too old? Why am I doing this? They're not kids, but they're my sons, so they're ageless. And Kathy, I'm with you. I could never have a candy drawer in my house.
Absolutely not.
Neither Kathy.
Absolutely not. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. And this is Bob, who's been waiting. Bob, we love you.
Hi, how are you guys?
Fine. Tell us about your feelings about Valentine's Day.
Well, I just being born on Valentine's Day.
Sucks.
it hasn't been good, you know. I mean, the best thing about it was, you know, I've got a godmother that has sent me. I'm 53 years old. You know, she's never missed my birthday. But
okay.
I've always had to do more than receive, you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
No. Because you'd think you'd receive a lot for your birthday and whatever for your Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's just I always had to be thinking about it. I mean, I love my wife, and but it seems like I've always had to do more on my birthday than...
Than most people.
Yeah.
You have to be giving instead of just getting.
Exactly. You know, it's...
What would be ideal? What would be the best case scenario for you?
February 13th.
Okay, a different birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of our girlfriends has a way for you and your wife to save money. She says, okay. My husband and I go to the card shop, pick out cards, and show them to each other. Then we put them back and walk out without spending anything.
Well, I like that completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Walgreens tomorrow and see if there are any couples there.
There you go.
And you know what? If you don't go to the dollar store, you're paying $4.99.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Exactly.
Exactly. You know.
Hey, Bob, happy birthday.
Hey, well, thank you.
Happy birthday, Mr. 53.
I'm glad you guys are back on the radio. I enjoy you.
Thank you.
And God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Take care.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. I was just going to
ask
if he ever had one of those dancing moments as a teenager.
Well, that's a good topic.
Yes. Well, sometime in the future.
Write it down.
Who is that? Who's that? Kristen Decker.
Tina Turner,
okay. I really don't want to fight no more. And that's just homage to Chris Christie, who several weeks ago, during an interview, and I can't remember how it came up, said that when he and his wife fight, they go into her closet to fight so they don't fight in front of the kids.
His voice is so loud. I'm sure they hear him through the closet.
That may be.
And how old are his kids? Are they out of the house?
I don't know. I would guess so. I would guess that they certainly have older kids.
Yeah.
But I just wondered. I seldom heard my parents fight. When I did, they were upstairs in their bedroom with the door closed.
Always heard my parents fight.
Did you? And and as a result, for me, I think, in my marriage, I didn't know how to fight. I just didn't know how to fight. And I didn't know how to express anger, which was appropriate. And so when I finally expressed it, it was rage. That's not healthy. Anger is fine. What was that about? Or why wouldn't you have done this? Or whatever the issue is, so that you hold all those in and then you never wind up dealing with anything at the time, so that's all sitting around, and then when you finally deal with it, it's just like you go crazy over some minor thing.
How'd you learn how to fight?
You know, Judy, I'm not sure I ever did.
I think you're a fabulous disagreeer. We've never had a fight. It never got as quite as heated. We've had one or two heated conversations
right
in close to 30 years.
Yeah, and I think And that's because when either of us had a problem with the other, we expressed it. So maybe I did learn. Maybe I call it directness now. But I can't remember the last time I was rage-filled with anybody that I cared about.
I'm very comfortable fighting.
Because you saw your parents do it?
Yes, though I've been told that I don't always fight fair.
Oh. Any specifics?
I can't remember.
Okay. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. I cannot imagine a married couple that has never had reason to fight. With somebody all the time. How can they not do things that annoy you, or how can your expectations not be met on either side? If I hear somebody say, we never fight, I think, ooh, there's a lot of seething going on there.
My parents very, very rarely fought, to the point that when they did have a disagreement, and it was only within the past, 10 years that, my sister and I noticed that they had this big disagreement going on.
It got your stomach upset, I'll bet.
We thought they were going to get divorced.
Right, that's what we thought in my house, too. And we would sit on the stairs. I remember sitting on the stairs with my sisters and brothers saying, are they going to get divorced? And that was because we had never heard them fight. And I think for kids growing up, that's healthy to see that people can fight and then love each other.
I think it's a disservice to children to hide the fact that you're disagreeing, and sometimes vehemently and sometimes unreasonably.
Right, exactly.
And then you have to wait and see. There's a couple things to monitor. I'm sure children don't. One is how you come to some sort of resolution, or how you look at your own behavior and say, I could have done that better.
Right.
And the second is how somebody recovers from a fight. Because my father recovered really fast, and my mother took days.
Ah, okay. So she'd be walking around slamming doors and stuff.
No. She wouldn't slam doors.
Just seething.
She wouldn't seethe. She'd be just real quiet.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
Which wasn't her nature.
Right. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. And you can text us or you can call us. Do you and your spouse or your partner fight in front of your kids, or did your parents fight in front of you, and how did that affect whether or not you are willing to fight in your relationship? In the meantime, I just want to mention one thing that is so cool that's totally unrelated to this. The Art Institute now has
so glad you're talking about this.
3 Van Goghs that are bedroom pictures. There's pictures of his bedroom in, where, Judy? What city in France were they? Was that house?
Why do
house?
I want to say?
Anyway, there are 3 versions of the same bedroom, and the Art Institute built a replica, a real-size replica of that room, and put it on Airbnb. Don't try to get it. They're all sold out. But they put it on Airbnb for $10 a night.
Two people, different than the bed in the real pictures, because that was a lone single bed.
Well, yeah, it looks like a double bed. But contact host, your host is Vincent, and it's just no reviews yet. Vincent's been a member since February 2016, and his picture, of course, is there. If you've ever been on Airbnb, you'll realize how this is exactly like any other Airbnb.
Oh, Vincent Van Gogh.
Pardon? Description. I'm charging $10 for no other reason than that I need to buy paint. However, I will be happy to provide you with tickets to my exhibition at the Art Institute of Chicago. Just what a clever publicity thing. Just go to it for the enjoyment of seeing what the Art Institute has done in recreating this room in real time and real space. A neat thing.
And what? Being able to see the 3 versions of what has become an iconic painting.
Right, right.
You know, it's quite remarkable. Currently, you said the exhibit runs...
It's in Arles, A-R-L-E-S.
Arles.
Right, yeah.
The exhibit runs through, did you say the end of May, Kath?
I want to say through May, I think. Yeah. So they assembled these three paintings, which have been in different places, and it's just a neat thing. So go check it out.
I wish it would be longer.
Sure.
It would fill up right away.
Well, apparently it did. I first heard about it yesterday on an interview and didn't think to go to the site because I thought, oh, that would be fun. And obviously it sold out in an instant. You know, 120 nights.
Think about that bathroom, how far that would be.
Oh, right. 312-981-7200. Quick call before we take a break. This is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, we're talking about whether or not you saw your saw and heard your parents fight.
Oh, yeah.
And what effect that had on whether or not you fight in your relationship.
I do fight with my husband. We have no children, so I don't have to worry about fighting in front of them. But my mom taught us, and this goes with my sister and I, because we live in a two flat, so we see each other a lot. You fight, you get it over with, and you move on. And my sister and I and my husband and I can have a huge fight. I'm talking screaming, yelling, slamming doors. 10 minutes later, we're laughing about something else.
And that's great. Because you get it out.
Yeah, get it out, get it over with, and move on.
Right.
Yeah,
interesting. All right, thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks. And on the text, my parents fought so much, I thought that was what was supposed to happen. I started all the fights with my husband. Kathy and Judy back. We're talking about fighting, and if you saw your parents fight, and whether they did or didn't, whether that has an effect on your own relationship. And this is Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hello. How are y'all doing today?
All right. Thanks.
We're furious.
Well, basically, I grew up with a divorced mother, so I saw them fight every time they happened to meet up during a weekend when I was visiting. So you can imagine. And then my mother remarried to another man, and I heard them fight, and it was two different styles of fighting because there were two different people, obviously. But it was a little bit more civil with my stepfather because he was an officer in the Air Force, so he handled things differently. And it definitely shaped how I fought, except not until I got divorced from my first wife. When we fought, it was nothing but contradiction, gainsaying, being spiteful, being mean. And, of course, my marriage didn't last more than about 4 years. But having learned from all that, it definitely shapes the way I argue with my current fiancé whenever we do have those fights, because having looked back on all that, and even remembering some of the classes I took in college about critical thinking, when it's valid to argue and when you're actually simply just spinning your wheels, it definitely shapes how we handle arguments. And it actually turns out for the better. And the rules that we agreed on are... we will never argue if either one of us is tired or hungry, because that just exasperates the entire situation.
Okay.
And we both promise each other never to go to bed angry. We will resolve it before we go to bed.
Boy, that's a tough one. Yeah.
It is. Oh, it is.
Because
in the morning you can see things more clearly. I would add into that if you've been drinking, because...
sure, well,
that can, you know, loosen
stupid.
You up and, yeah, put you in a place where you're a lot more adamant and a lot,
less logical.
If I have two glasses of wine, I know I am arguing differently than if it's the middle of the day.
True, very true. Neither one of us drinks, so that helps, but you are correct. Back in the day, our alcohol, first thing to go when you drink is your judgment, and that never makes an argument turn out well.
Right. So when are you getting married?
So far, we're planning on about 2 years now. We're taking everything slow, unlike my last marriage when I just kind of flew into it. So trying to learn from my mistakes.
Okay. All right. Good luck with that, Chris.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. 312-981-7200. We're talking about fighting in a relationship, in a marriage. Chris Christie said that he and his wife never fought in front of their kids. They always went into his wife's closet to fight. And this is Yvonne.
I wonder how he fits.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I saw my grandparents fight. I saw my mom and dad fight. Me and my husband, we argued. We didn't fight, but, you know, arguing. And my two sisters, they argued with their husband. So I've seen it. The only person I never saw fight was my godmother and her husband. I never saw them argue.
But you weren't in their life all the time.
A whole summer. I would be there like 3 months in the summer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But my pastor, he was teaching us one day about, you know, couples getting along, and he said he and his wife never had a single fight. And then he paused. He said all of them were doubles and triples.
Oh.
So that's what I have to say.
That good point.
You know,
thanks, Yvonne. What you?
When I was first married to Tom Collinger, and we would get in a fight, say at the dining table, you know, dinner, we're all having dinner in the kitchen. His kids hadn't really seen him and his late wife fight, and they would get clearly
upset.
Concerned.
Yeah.
And I would just say, we're just having an animated discussion, which was a lie. We were having
right.
A fight, but it was an intense, it came off as an intense discussion, but they didn't see, they really felt its impact.
It was upsetting to them.
Very upsetting
right.
to them. Yeah.
Right, right. 312-981-7200 from 847. My parents are married 58 years and never fight. Maybe they're just too damn tired to after that period of time. And this is Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
You know, I have seen my parents fight all growing up, which is, I've never seen my parents kiss. I've always seen them fight, which, it was good in a way because it brought me and my brother closer together. We would, like, go into one of our rooms and play video games and shut the door and, you know, let him have at it. But I'm very similar to my, like, dad. Like, I always needed the last word, you know, like, high school. And we would have blowout arguments, like, doors off hinges, like, holes in the wall. And you know what? Me and my boyfriend we've been dating for a while. I, like, learned to... Like, not everything needs a last word or a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, like the other guy, like, I mean, I will go to bed mad because some things, like, I know I probably over-exaggerate or, like, mm-hmm. are a little dramatic about it. So, like, we'll go to bed mad, and then in the morning, like, we'll, if it's something that bothers me, I'll say this. And if it's something that, like, I forget about, then I'm like, it's not even worth it. But, you know, growing up with arguing parents, it's made me realize I don't need the last word. Like, not
oh,
okay. That's a great piece of growth.
Right, yeah. And this kind of, in the same vein from Area 217, I thought the police went to everybody's house on Friday nights.
they were never that bad. But, I mean, we've had doors off hinges and everything.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, luckily my dad was build homes for a living, so it was always fixed, like, the next day or two. But, yeah, we have a Native American family, so we got tempers. I've just learned to control mine and just keep quiet because it's no reason to add fuel to a flame.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good Saturday, ladies.
Thanks. Glad you're listening, Lindsay. 312-981-7200. Back to your calls and texts after this.
Saturday, February 20th, 720 WGN, Allstate, and the Chicago Blackhawks present a very special Hometown Voices. Listen as the beat broadcasts live from 3 to 7 at the Blackhawks store at Old Orchard Mall, Skokie. Bring your family to celebrate National Hockey Weekend across America. The first 100 kids are invited for a free skate on the mall's ice rink, where they'll learn skating tips from the Blackhawks ice crew and Blackhawks youth hockey team. Plus, there's plenty of chances to win great prizes from the Blackhawks store.
Hockey, baby!
Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, always presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on Geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I mean, I know he's a distinguished old coach, but I just can't get him off the phone. I got to get rid of him.
Hey, Cochran, stupidity's not a crime, Cochran. So guess what? You're free to go. You know what? I'm jealous of all the people who haven't met you.
Steve Cochran and his adoring fans.
You didn't even wear a helmet. They just put a decal on the side of your face.
Weekday mornings right before Bill and Wendy.
Bill and Wendy, they both got two brain cells. One's in a wheelchair, the other one's pushing.
On WGNRadio.com.
romance, and great music are on deck at the historic Leela Arts Center, located in downtown Des Plaines, running January 22nd through February 14th. So tomorrow's last day is the classic American romantic comedy Bus Stop, featuring the Guild Theater Company. Enjoy what happens when a bus full of strangers is stranded by a snowstorm for one night in a restaurant in rural Kansas. And opening the 19th, you can enjoy the innovative music comedy Live Company's original production of Doo-Wop Dreams. Plenty of free parking, interesting restaurants are nearby. It all makes the Leela Arts Center a great destination at prices that are truly affordable. Visit LeelaArtsCenter.com or call 1-800-838-3006, 1-800-838-3006. The box office is open 3:30 to 6:30, Thursdays through Saturdays. Performing arts at its best on an historic stage, that's the Leela Arts Center, where they always entertain. And don't forget, support your local theater.
Retro.
Well, that was the first song that came into my mind, actually, because what I want to talk about was I'd read an article last week by a woman who hated her parents' jobs. Understandably, they were both shrinks. So I'm sure they always had the answer. And
oh, my gosh, that would be.
And, you know,
right.
You know, I can't imagine being the child of two shrinks. It would,
right.
It would be very damaging.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Though I know some kids that were the children, as I think of it, of two shrinks, and I don't know how they turned out, but they seemed fine as they were going forward. I'm not sure. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, I wonder how most people felt about their parents' jobs, if they were neutral about them or if they thought their jobs were cool or where they stood sort of were really embarrassed, like the woman who wrote this article. And I thought, I was really lucky because when I was in high school, my dad owned a car wash down in Watts, and it was called Supersonic Car Wash, and it was big, and it had this fabulous taco stand on it. Now, remember, this is like 1960, 1961.
There was a taco stand in the car wash?
On the property.
Okay.
It was Daddy's property. I mean, he bought it. And a shoe shine also. I mean, it was very forward-thinking.
Yeah.
In a way, for a car wash. And I love that he owned it because it was so antithetical to enough of the people whose parents were in the movies, because it was Beverly Hills High. And it was kind of cool, and it was far away from the neighborhood. I mean, Watts is about as far as from where I lived as you could be on many different levels. And I thought that was cool. And then when I got older and my mom went back to work, she used to work in a cashmere sweater showroom, called Hadley. And I'd get free outfits. And so I got a summer job from the car wash, and it wasn't glamorous. And I got, you know, I guess they were not totally free to my parents, but they were wholesale. And so I got some cashmere sweaters, which was when I was at an age where cashmere didn't make me sweat buckets. I thought.
Did your mom wear like a pointy bra?
Of course.
Because
probably.
I feel like with those cashmere sweaters, I always see, like, back in that time.
Like Madonna cone
bras.
Yes,
cone
right.
bras.
Yeah,
right.
They were cones.
Right.
They were cones. And they were stitched all around, you know, so it was a continuing spiral to keep the conishness.
Oh, okay. So you could wash them without it collapsing or whatever?
I don't know what the stitches were made out of, but that was just the way that I think most of the bras were coned. I don't remember. Do you have any?
Yeah. I mean, I never had that much to cone, so it wasn't a huge issue. But girls who had, you know, big, hefty pair.
I just saw the movie Brooklyn, and I noticed that in the movie.
Oh, right, the bras.
Well, and Mad Men, there were cones, weren't there?
I would think so. That was the
I didn't watch
cone
it,
period.
But, Right.
Yeah. So now, Chris, at what age, Judy, do you think you became aware of what your parents' job even was? I think when you're little, meaning from consciousness, which is 2.5 to 3, until you're 7 or 8.
Yeah, I was going to say around 9.
Yeah, you don't have you know your parents or your dad goes to work.
Yeah, he was a salesman, and that's kind of, unless you're in a retail store, and he was in sales, wholesale manufacturing. But I think about Kristen, whose father is an auctioneer.
And a farmer.
And how do you feel about your dad being an auctioneer? I would think that would be pride inducing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Still,
because you grew, you were aware from the time you were little, when mm-hmm. it's the family business, as farming is, you're aware that that's your parents'
job. But my
mom
was a teacher, and I hated it because she taught kids in town. And when I was in third grade, she was the other third grade teacher. And then when my class moved to fifth grade, when I was in fourth grade, I'd had my sister and then came back to teach part-time when I was in fifth grade, and she taught fifth grade. And then when we went to junior high, she went to junior high.
Wow.
So I
despised
my mom being a teacher. No, it just worked out that way. But, like, kids in my class had her for third grade, fifth grade, sixth and seventh grade. It was mortifying.
All right. 312-981-7200. We're talking about how you felt about your parents' job when you were a child. This is Candace.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, ladies. This is such a good subject. Now, my stepmother, when my dad and she got married, she was working at Kmart, okay? Mm-hmm. And back then, when you're like 5, Kmart's the greatest thing in the world.
Sure.
and she was a really competitive woman, and my father was an iron worker, and he made really good money back in the height of the union days. And so she decided that they were going to allow women in the union that year. And so she became a pipe fitter. And she did all the pipe downstate at the Clinton nuclear powerhouse. And when I was younger, I was mortified by that because I was kind of like a fashionista. I was really into fashion. My mom would wear these bib overalls every single day to work.
Like Rosie and Carter.
And I would walk like 10 steps behind her at the mall. I was so embarrassed. But now that I look back, she is like a rock star because that was back when like women were harassed, but they didn't whine about it at work. And she got through all of this, and it's so amazing to me what she did.
So she certainly was. She was in a man's world.
Oh, absolutely.
She was a woman doing what was then considered a man's job.
And she must have gotten razzed plenty.
Oh, she got harassed a ton, but she never really complained about it, and I think that's why she rose in the ranks. She just did her job, and I just think she's amazing. And my dad, goes without saying, worked very hard as an iron worker, so I'm proud of both of them. But when I was younger, you're kind of mortified, because you're like, oh, my gosh, she's a plumber. Because every time you tell somebody, what does your mom do, and they're like, what?
That's a boy's job.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. This is Jerry. Jerry, were you embarrassed by what your parents did for a living?
No. My mom had a beauty shop in our basement, and this was in the 70s, and I would sit there all day long, and that's when ladies came once a week for their hair.
For their standing.
Done.
I loved Thursdays because those group of ladies were her friends, and then we would go out to eat on Thursday nights because my dad was a butcher and an auctioneer, and so he auctioned on Thursday nights.
Okay, what kind of hairdos was your mom making? Was she making French rolls? And it was pretty big hair, wasn't it?
Well, that was also like when people had their hair high and then they put a wiglet on top to make it even higher.
Uh-huh. And you would sit there and just
sometimes wash their, lady's hair if she was busy. And I remember one time she dyed her bangs, she bleached them blonde and the rest of her hair was dark. I was embarrassed then. I didn't like that.
Okay.
She was just ahead of her time.
But if you read the book, The Girls from Ames.
Oh, I read that. Jeff Sasler's book.
That's my childhood. Those girls were 2 years younger than me. And at the part where somebody went into a basement beauty shop and got a bad Dorothy Hamill haircut, that was my mother. Wow. And her friend was the mother that adopted this little girl, like, instantly that afternoon from the hospital. So, and she was one of my favorite customers, so.
So, Jeff Zaslow's book has a character that was your mom.
Yes, so whoever went to the basement and got a bad Dorothy Hamill haircut, that was from my mother.
Oh, what a riot. What a riot. And did yes. did you follow in her footsteps, or is your
no.
do you make a living differently?
Yes, no, I never wanted to do hair. But I, you know, I had, like, when I was little, a mannequin from, you know, like, beauty school.
Right.
And I would put it on a post on the counter, and while she was doing hair, I would roll this mannequin's hair. And I lived in the beauty shop with her. You know,
yeah.
I was
like
the youngest of five kids, and she went to beauty school when she got out of high school. When I was in third grade, she went back for her refresher course, and then they built this beauty shop in the basement when my oldest brother moved out. And I, from third grade, you know, until I was well into my married years, you know, all those ladies, I knew them my whole life because they all came the same day of the week.
Great story.
And
great,
it's a great
story. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah.
Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of our girlfriends texts, I worked at a major seminary for the Catholic Church, which I loved. Awesome job. I found out later that my children thought I worked at a cemetery.
Talking about the work of your mom and dad, whether or not you were embarrassed by it or thought it was extremely cool.
I think Christy's parents' job I would love. Hey, Christy.
Hi, good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Hey.
What'd your parents do?
Well, they ran a bakery and a luncheonette in Hinckley, a very little tiny town west of Chicago, and it was wonderful. We lived above the bakery, and I really felt like a celebrity. I was the envy of all my friends.
Now, your parents yeah. then would get up at 3 in the morning.
Absolutely. My dad, actually, he began about midnight. And on Saturday, that was the big day. He would actually start Friday evening at 10 o'clock the night before. So I always thought it was a very magical way to grow up.
No kidding.
Did you go down to the bakery for your breakfast in the morning?
Yeah. Absolutely. Came running down the stairs and could have the pick of the litter, so to speak. And boy, would I love to have some of those glazed donuts. They were the best, but of course I can't be objective.
Right.
I love to have one.
At what age were you expected to get in there and actually help?
Oh, that's a great question. I have to say, I like to say 4, but at 7, I was already expected to sweep, and I got to ice the chocolate-covered donuts, and it was a great job. I helped my dad. I'm sure I was underfoot all the time, but I got to be the top taste tester.
That's cool.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yep. That's cool.
Thank you for letting me say this. He's been gone for 4 years, and I adored him, and I thought he was the best baker in the whole world, and I'm sure he must be listening up there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christy. And
thanks
almost
for the opportunity.
Almost as neat as Christy's parents owning a bakery, Eileen, what did your mom do?
Hi, my mom was the manager of an ice cream store in Yonkers, Ohio. And it was a local place called Franklin's Ice Cream. And one day a week, I would have to walk from my grade school over to the ice cream store because I needed to hang out until my dad was done working. And so every Friday, I got to go and have ice cream.
So what did your dad do?
My dad actually worked for a manufacturing company, which was equally as cool. He would bring me in on the weekends. They made duplicating equipment, which were the precursors to copiers. It was a place called AM International.
What did? Are they the ones that had the papers that you could smell?
Yes, like mimeograph machines.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you and I are old enough to remember, yes.
You could get high on your math test.
Machine.
Exactly. So mom was an ice cream store manager. That's a cool one.
It was a lot of fun, and I ate a lot of butter pecan ice cream.
I'll bet.
I bet it was really good, too.
It was fabulous.
Thanks, Eileen.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. This is Vicky. Hi, Vicky. Vicki?
I am here.
Okay.
Were you happy or not with your parents' job?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I was proud of what my mother did when I was young, but I certainly have learned to become proud of her. I think she was a pioneer.
She was a
career woman. She worked for a very large insurance company. She was a manager. When my friends were buying their mother's pot holders for Mother's Day, I was buying pen sets and things like that.
Briefcases.
I think the interesting thing is that my father originally was a painter. It was his father was a painter, his brother was a painter, and he became allergic to the paint. So he couldn't do that anymore. He didn't know how to do anything else. My mother worked evenings at the insurance company. She got permission from them to have my father come a couple of nights a week for her to teach him how to do what she did. And she operated, they said in those days, the IBM machines. It was pre-computer. She operated the printer and the collator and the key punch. And so my brother and I went with our homework in the evening after dinner because my father cooked our dinner and helped us with our homework and did the mom things at night. And we went to the insurance company at night. She had permission to do this. And we did our homework while my mother taught my father how to do what she did. He then went out and got a job doing that and then became a computer operator. So she taught him a career, which I think is kind of cool. And when we got into high school, then she moved to a day job and became a manager. And now I realize, you know, you had the father who did half the housework, father who was a night mom when she worked at night. And I don't think she realizes how much of a pioneer she was with her career.
At the time, exactly. She wasn't home then when you came home from school.
We lived in Chicago. We lived in a three flat with family. So I had a grandmother living
on the third
floor.
There.
I had an aunt on the second floor. We were seen more than any other child who had a at-home mom who was playing cards with her friends and bowling.
There you go.
So
there you go.
As we walked home, all the windows went up, and this aunt said, okay, kids, straight into the house. And that aunt, you know, and we weren't allowed to have kids in the house after school. And so ours definitely was a village.
There you go. Thank you, Vicki.
Moms. You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. What? Wait a minute. You don't look like Amy Guth. You look like Catherine Lake.
I look like Catherine Lake. Well, that would be because I am.
Are you sitting in for Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch?
That's precisely what I'm doing. Amy's out. I think she's base jumping off the Sears Tower today.
Again.
Yeah.
Right.
So we got to move on.
And you, what are you doing?
I'm actually going to talk about that Sears Tower, ironically.
You mean me?
Well, Bridget Sweeney's coming in from Cranes.
Okay.
Sears is giving up a little of its own value based on that name, Sears Tower. So we're going to talk with her a little bit about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not Sears Tower, not based on the Sears Tower, but based on valuation of their name.
Interesting.
It's going to be very interesting.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's Catherine Lake.
What a voice. Catherine, I can't see you, but what a fabulous voice.
Aren't you so nice?
Especially after ours.
Oh, no, I miss you guys so much. I wish you were on 24 hours a day.
Oh,
I know, you are here, but I really love listening. And your topic about parents fighting was fascinating to me.
And yours?
They fought, and I fight.
Okay, and they fought, but then loved each other.
No.
Oh, they fought, and then they fought.
Oh, this is fraught. We could go on about this forever.
There's not enough hours in the day.
There are not.
Okay.
We'll do a whole show on it sometime, the three of us, shall we?
All right.
All right.